It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
That's right. That is correct. That is the phone number that you will call if you're trying to get on the line tonight to talk about this Celtics game. Because you know what? That's really the only news that's really come out today. Celtics win 112-104 over the Brooklyn Nets. The third Monday out of the last four Mondays where we've faced the Nets here as a group of Celtics fans watching the games. My name is Matt Rury. I am here with Jack Michael. And, of course, this is the CLNS Media Celtics postgame show. As the intro said, you can call at 347-215-7771. And, Jack, I mean, we are going to talk about this game for a few minutes at least. But, of course, being a little bit sarcastic when I say no other news has come out around the NBA today, because this will be a show heavily focused on Anthony Davis, I think, right?
I mean, he is a pretty good player. He's a pretty good player, pretty big name in the NBA today. And, you know, something did happen with him today. So I think, yeah, I think we might have to discuss that a little bit, just a little bit.
So either way, we are the Celtics post-game show here on CLNS Media. And, of course, if you are an NBA fan and you don't know that Anthony Davis has requested a trade, then you have not been paying attention at all today. So we will definitely get into that towards the end of the show, probably actually more towards the middle of the show, and then whatever else you guys feel like talking about. But first, I want to just remind everybody that this show is brought to you by Boston Barber and Tattoo, and they are a wonderful place to go. They are the heartbeat of the North End, the heartbeat of Boston, if you will, and they really are more than just a barber and tattoo company. They've become home to A-list Boston sports celebrities like Mr. Gordon Hayward, who we'll touch on tonight, Milan Lucic when he was here with the Bruins, Brad Marchand, Aaron Baines frequents this place. Go check it out. It's in the North End. It's on Salem Street. It's at 113 Salem Street, and it really has become a landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of Boston and the North End area. So go check it out. It's Boston Barber and Tattoo, and we always want to thank them for the great work that they do over there. Again, 113 Salem Street, right in the middle of Boston. So before a game, maybe you want to get touched up, go check it out. Boston Barber and Tattoo. So yeah, we will talk about Anthony Davis, but let's get the game out of the way here, Jack. And to me, this game started and it ended with the tone that Al Horford set on defense in the first half. And there was a little bit of a lull in the third quarter, but Al Horford had six blocks in the first half. And to me was the guy that really set the tone, and everybody else around the team sort of rallied around him. And it was a good shooting night for the most part. And we will get into Gordon Hayward, who did not have a great night. But overall, a good, solid win against the Brooklyn Nets in a game where Kyrie Irving did not play.
Yeah, I agree. And I think actually in the first half, some people were saying that Al Horford actually had a seventh block that he wasn't credited for. I must have missed it, but, you know, even better if that happened.
Yeah, I thought he had seven blocks too. I thought I saw one. Scal said it as well. But I guess they just didn't give it to him for some reason. Maybe it'll come out tomorrow that he got a seventh block. Who knows?
Hey, that would be great. And I agree. He kept it going through the second half. You know, you mentioned the lull in the third quarter where he almost had a replay of, you know, a couple weeks ago in Brooklyn with D'Angelo Russell kind of taking control of the game. But I think Al kind of really wanted to set that tone, like you said, and you know, kind of be that leader, be that veteran presence on the court for the full 48 minutes, you know, the whole game. And he really was able to keep it up. And he really had, I think, one of his best games in a while. You know, he had, let me see, sorry, pulling up the box score here, but he had, you know, you mentioned the blocks, but he had 11 rebounds, you know, going against a guy like Jared Allen, who, you know, is at least 2-3 inches taller than him. He's kind of been a flying under the radar young player, but, you know, he's, he is known for rebounding. He's a good rebounder. He's a good shot blocker. And, you know, for Al to have this kind of game against a guy like that, I think is really promising.
Yeah, Jared Allen, a young, promising player, and it looks to me as though Al Horford was on his game tonight. Maybe the critics would look at him and say, oh, well, he's playing against the Nets. And look at it on the flip side, that Jared Allen is just not seasoned enough to go up against a guy like Al Horford. But I think with the five assists as well, and of course we've mentioned the blocks, people will look at his plus-minus and say, oh, he was a -4. But he did a lot to make the Celtics stick around in this game. And to be honest with you, they didn't really play that well on defense overall, aside from Al Horford. He was the only one, even though a couple other guys had blocks and there were some steals here and there. Marcus Smart had 5 of them for that matter. And Smart is a given on defense, but the other guys just, it didn't really seem like they were given their all because they were letting Smart and Horford do their thing. And that's fine on some nights, but when you have a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who for some reason didn't really play in the fourth quarter, but started to look like he was going to heat up like he did a week or two ago, you better start playing some defense. And guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, I would have liked to see a little bit more from them on the defensive end tonight. So long story short, plus minus doesn't count in this game or ever for that matter. That's a deeper conversation. We're not going to get into it tonight. Al Horford was my star of the game, if you will, even though there is a lot of praise to go around.
Yeah, and I think as someone who you didn't really mention, but also Terry Rozier kind of had a little bit of struggle on the defensive end as well, you know, kind of indicative of his season in general, but tonight as well. I was fine with Jaylen. You know, he, like you said, he did kind of struggle on the defensive end, but he has been on the upswing recently, and it's he's going to have his games where he, you know, he is that lockdown defender where he is, you know, kind of just engaged off ball at all times. And, you know, he'll hopefully have an offensive game like this in that type of game too. But, you know, I'm not going to complain about that. But something that I wanted to talk about too was D'Angelo Russell actually, and why he kind of left in the third quarter. Some people I saw were speculating that he was hurt. You know, it was kind of a weird because the Nets were 1 when they subbed him out, or maybe up 2 at that point. So that was kind of a little weird.
Yeah, and you saw him on the end of the bench, really kind of away from the team, not even sitting on the bench, but more sitting on that stanchion that's there, that sort of platform that has an advertisement at the end of the bench. And I think if anyone was watching the Comcast or the NBC Sports Network broadcasts, Scalabrine mentioned that there was an assistant coach sort of talking to D'Angelo Russell, and he was cheering for his team at the time, but he wasn't really talking to anybody else on the bench. There were a couple of times that I saw Kenny Atkinson, the head coach of I almost called New Jersey. That's a slip up that happens once a year. And I'm proud of it because they should be New Jersey, and they still are to me. But Brooklyn, the head coach of Brooklyn, Kenny Atkinson, he was visibly frustrated with his team. And it wasn't necessarily Russell, I don't think. But there were a couple times that he sort of rolled his eyes at Shabazz Napier and threw his hands up. And I think that maybe he was kind of getting into the guys on the sideline. So maybe Russell just didn't want to have any part of that. And that's why he was taken out, perhaps. I'm not really sure what went on there. Maybe we can find out through the course of the show or certainly on Twitter after the fact. But yeah, that's a strange thing. I'm not really sure why they would have taken out their best player, a guy that really started scoring just five or 6 minutes before that.
Yeah, he was absolutely, he was torching us. And, you know, it's something that we have kind of gotten on Brad Stevens for, you know, in the past couple of weeks with the rotations, where if a guy's getting hot, he kind of subs him out in inexplicable time. Because it also happened tonight with Jason Tatum. I don't think we saw Jason Tatum for the last, you know, 5-10 minutes of the game. And it could be argued that you know, we were up enough, we were up 10, we were up 14. But you know, it was just a weird thing tonight. So yeah, like we said with the Russell thing, it was just a weird thing. don't know. Yeah, just something we noticed about the game. Something I noticed about the game.
Yeah, but there were a lot of weird things tonight. Like multiple yeah. Celtics players got stitches, and they were bleeding all over
yeah.
the place. I want to know who on the Nets is playing with long fingernails, because that's a jerk move right there.
Well, that's it's a sneaky, you know, it's a sneaky kind of old man veteran move there too. I know.
Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. I think a couple of years ago there was an article about that or something where, you know, they would say there were a couple guys in the league. I think Rip was one of them, but a couple guys in the league who were notorious for playing with long fingernails. I think the play that Marcus Smart got cut on his face, I think that was actually Rodion Skurucs going up for that dunk. So I don't know if that
okay,
was Rodion's
yeah, that's right.
hand or if that was the rim or something. So it went fast, but that was definitely the face. But that was a weird cut for Hayward, too, because it was kind of at the base of his finger. Just a weird, yeah, like you said, weird night.
Sure. And then if you saw Morris cut, it was almost like an abrasion more than a cut. It was very strange. It was like a circular pattern.
And
what I saw on TV, it looked like it was almost like a rug burn type of thing or a floor burn. But it was in a... I don't know, like someone took a Cuban cigar and put it on in his hand. It was really strange.
that would be a very Marcus Morris injury to get.
There you go. There you go. Let's get a meme going of that right there. Come on, somebody break it out for me. Jack, you know you have the connections. Get a Marcus Morris Cuban cigar burnout meme right there. That's what we need.
I'm writing it down now. I'll get it going afterwards so I can.
There we go.
There we go. And I have time to focus on it. I wrote it down.
I love it. I love it. Anyway, let's sort of turn the shift gears here a little bit, because we've got kind of a big Celtics story, and we want to talk about Anthony Davis. I'm not trying to tease Anthony Davis right now, but a lot of people also want to talk about someone who flew under the radar yet again tonight. Didn't really do much. He's been kind of quiet the last few weeks. People are starting to get frustrated. And a Golden State player actually called him a liability. So let's talk about Gordon Hayward a little bit. And first, to sort of set this up, we are going to bring on the one and only Nick Sesento. And Nick actually has the audio of Jeff Goodman talking about Gordon Hayward, sorry, and the fact that an anonymous Warriors player has called him a liability. And actually, our very own Nick Gelso was tweeting about this, saying that Gordon Hayward is hurting the Celtics with every play. Nick Sesento, take it away, sir.
Matt Rory, it's fantastic to hear from you. Jack Mike, I know you probably hate me calling you Jack Mike, but Jack Mike, what's up? It's good to hear from you. It's good to hear from you as well. It just reminds me of Mike Jack, what we used to call Michael Jackson, Mike Jack. So just Jack Mike sounds good. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in my spare time, I don't really advertise it or talk about it much, but I have a very large Celtics fan group on Facebook. It actually has 81,000 members, and many from across the world. You know, we have a lot of Philippine members, but a lot of members here in the United States as well. And across the board, just the attitude towards Gordon Hayward, the patience is wearing so thin. And then you look at Twitter, and I think you see similar things across Twitter. You see similar things on Instagram comments. Social media is really ablaze with Gordon Hayward, who's really just not performed up to expectations in the past couple of games. I mean, tonight he was 1-for-6 from the field, 0-for-4 from 3. For only 2 points in 21 minutes. He had, you know, a couple of, I think, 3 rebounds and 3 assists, a block and a steal. He does a few other things well, but he's leaving a lot to be desired. And I'm not going to really get all into it because we also have another caller on the line that I just screened that also wants to talk about Gordon Hayward. So I'm just going to play this, and I'm doing it pretty much, you know, on the fly. This is jury rigging it, so it's not like the best audio quality, so hopefully it comes through well. But Jeff Goodman, formerly of ESPN, I believe now he works for some small stadium sports or something like that, and he was interviewed by the CLNS staff for the Garden Report after the Warriors game, and that is where the story, which basically has broken out like wildfire in the past, you know, day or two since the Warriors game, about the anonymous Draymond Green player criticizing Gordon Hayward, saying that he's a liability on both ends of the court. So So I just wanted to play the audio. I thought I'd pull it up on YouTube, see if we could get it to work over the air, and kind of start the conversation and see how it works. You know, see how, you know, what fans think about this. See what you guys think about this, and how Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics should be approaching Gordon Hayward's minutes, should be approaching managing Gordon Hayward's playing, especially in crunch time of games like the Warriors, where he wasn't really getting it done, but he was left out there for maybe a little bit longer than you'd like. But, you know, enough talking for me. Let me just see if I can get this Jeff Goodman audio to play, and then you guys can go about it.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
It's just stadium.
I talked to somebody in the Warriors locker room, a player, who said, listen, Gordon Hayward is not Gordon Hayward right now. He's hurting him. He's a liability on both ends of the court. And the player also said to me, listen, from my standpoint, I think they need to make a move. And I don't know who it's going to be, and that's kind of the hard part, to try to figure out what Danny Ainge can do at this point, because let's face it, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, their value is not what it was at the end of last season.
No.
You don't want to trade low if you're going to trade.
Okay, yeah, so straight from the Gordon Hayward isn't playing well to the you got to make a move. So
right.
I think you can put two and two together to what they were implying there. I don't think – I mean, if you're the Boston Celtics and you're unhappy with the way Gordon Hayward's playing, and maybe there's some creeping uncertainty that he's not going to ever get back to the level that he was before, who's going to trade for him at the max contract that he has? So it's kind of a rock and a hard place. And Boston fans can really – all we can do is just kind of hope that he improves. But –
Yeah,
wanted to bring that to you.
You've got to manage him somehow, Nick, and we appreciate that audio for sure. That's Jeff Goodman. He's at Stadium, which is watchstadium.com, and he's bounced all over the place. He was at ESPN. You can find him on Twitter at Goodman Hoops. His podcast, I believe, is still being played on CLNS Media. If it's not, then it was at one point. So he's definitely in the know. So a guy that talks to players, obviously he's got some connections there, and he's just saying things that a lot of analysts and fans and radio talk show people around here have been saying for a while now. And I've tried to give Gordon Hayward the benefit of the doubt, and I've said that it's going to take him a while. And I was thinking that after the new year, that everything was going to be fine. And he's shown flashes of brilliance. He scored 30 points once or twice. He has been a playmaker for this team. He's doing good things on defense once in a while, but it's starting to turn into that time of year where people are getting into a groove, and teams that are really starting to play. It's basically a tune-up type of situation. The All-Star break is coming. After that, people the teams are really going to ramp it up. And I think guys on this team, especially the younger guys, are already starting to ramp it up a little bit. They've had a nice little streak here with a five-game win streak before that Golden State game the other night. I think everybody's really starting to play well and gel a little bit. And unfortunately, Hayward is the guy that is not taking things up to another level, because he's still not back from that injury. And even if he was back from that injury, this might be the highest speed that he knows right now. I don't know if he's confident to take it up and ramp it up to another level. So to me, I don't know if they need to make a move, but they definitely need to find a way, if they're going to keep him on the team, to ramp his speed up in games, and they're running out of time to do it. So, Jack, I'm starting to worry at this point. I've been cool and calm about Gordon Hayward for months. But I'm even starting to worry a little bit that he's going to become more of a liability than not when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, and I've kind of been in the same boat as you, where, you know, I've been giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I've been saying, you know, just wait till March or April, you know, he'll be fine by then, you know, and I'm very much on record with saying, you know, we'll take the bumps now, you know, and let him kind of play through it now.
Sure.
And it'll be beneficial in the playoffs. But I am also kind of and you're right, it's not so much like what he's doing out there, it's more just the speed with which he's playing. He looked like he was kind of getting it together for a couple weeks there, like you said, with the new year. He looked like he was moving faster. He was going to the rim. You know, he wasn't making all of his layups or dunks, but he was going there, and he was getting around guys. And I think, you know, more so than that 30-point game against Minnesota, I think that game against Toronto might have been, you know, if not as good as the Minnesota game, right there, because he was doing moves. You know, he was hitting step backs. He was taking step backs, which is something we hadn't seen from him, you know, prior to that. So I think that was his most, you know, kind of promising performance athletically. And I think, you know, since then we've kind of just seen him, I don't know if I want to say regress, because that kind of implies that he's had a setback with his injury or a setback with his rehab or something, but we've seen him kind of go back to that early season Hayward where he looks a lot more passive.
Yeah, it's really weird. He just doesn't look as confident as he did in those first couple of weeks of 2019. And he just, it's almost like he doesn't know where he fits. And I wonder if that's because guys like Jason or Jaylen Brown and Aaron Baines is back. Not that that cuts into Hayward's minutes, but Jaylen Brown has really been playing a lot better the last couple of weeks. Terry Rozier with Kyrie in and out of the lineup has taken a little bit more of a prominent role. They're starting to play play Rozier next to Kyrie a little bit more as well. And that's kind of a spot where I thought that they were going to try and use Gordon Hayward to sort of play that two guard with Kyrie if they wanted to go big. And it's just, he just doesn't seem to be at the speed of everyone else right now. His brain seems to be going the speed that it needs to be. I think he feels hesitant at times. And I'm also worried that he's just lost confidence in his jump shot. So if he's not going to be a scorer and he's not going to have the confidence to do some of the things that, that he was brought here to do, I'd rather have somebody else on the floor at this point. That's the way I'm thinking, especially in a couple months. I mean, I wanted to give him more time to work this through and be able to get to that point, but it's starting to get frustrating. So I'm hearing the noise. Maybe I need to just block it out. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm starting to worry too. So I don't think you should feel bad that it's starting to get a little worrisome. But what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to, you know, kind of look through the bumps, look through, you know, the bad stuff that he's done, because as far as his jump shot, you know, in my opinion, and this is just completely, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physical therapist. So, but in my opinion, his legs aren't still as under him as they should be, or as, you know, as under him as we would like for him to be. So when it comes to jump shooting, jumping for rebounds, jumping for blocks, whatever it may be, I'm going to give him, you know, I give him another 6 months on that if we're being honest. But it's the playmaking, you know, it's kind of that secondary ball handler skill that I would like to see, especially when he is struggling with his shot, when he is struggling to score. That's something that I'd like to see featured a lot more. And it just seems like he's kind of, you know, he'll catch a pass on the wing, he'll take a dribble to the side, he'll put it through his legs once, and then that's kind of it, and he'll try to pass it back out. And we saw it a bit tonight. You know, we saw he had that steal in the first half that led to the Jaylen Brown dunk, and then he had the steal, or he had the pass up to Jason Tatum. And, you know, he still is that good playmaker that we saw, you know, in Utah before he was injured with us. But, you know, until he gets featured more prominently, and like you said, with Jaylen Brown playing a lot better of late, I think in the beginning of the season, you know, Jaylen was kind of that guy that was getting, you know, phased out of the offense a little bit, or kind of being that odd man out. And I think as Jaylen's played better, you know, that odd man out role has kind of shifted to Gordon a little bit.
It's true. Yeah, it definitely seems that way. And I you know what, I didn't buy into the whole too many cooks thing when people criticized the Celtics for bringing Gordon Hayward in and then re-signing Marcus Smart to a long-term deal and seeing what Jason Tatum has done. It's people are saying that there's too many guys that need the ball and blah, blah, blah. And to me, I didn't buy into that because I truly thought that the system and these players would be able to all play at their highest abilities with each other, and there wouldn't be this logjam, and they could put Tatum, Brown, and Hayward all on the floor at the same time, and there wouldn't be a problem. And then they could just rotate guys. I thought there was going to be a solid 10-man rotation, and it was just going to be anybody on the floor is going to be able to do anything. And I think that's what Danny Ainge was envisioning as well. It's just unfortunate that Hayward is the guy that's holding everything back because of this injury. It seems as though everybody else is sort of trying to play with him at times over the course of the season, and maybe it's messing up their rhythm a little bit. So if he can get to a point where he's playing at that capability, at that all-star type of level, look out. This team is going to be just as exciting as they were the other night against Golden State, even though they fell short. They will be an intimidating force. It's just a matter of, can that happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks before the trade deadline, or does Danny Ainge feel like he needs to make a deal, whether it's sending Gordon Hayward away or clearing up some of that logjam and shipping off a guy like Terry Rozier or even a Jaylen Brown? I don't know what's going through Danny Ainge's head right now, but those seem to be the obvious options. One of those three guys needs to find a way to either fit into the lineup better or find a way to Ainge needs to find a way to get something in return for them.
Yeah. And then one more thing I want to say on Hayward is, you know, for the people, whether it be online or on, you know, talk shows or on radio or whatever, getting on him about, you know, oh, this is $31 million. I don't think, you know, get mad at him for playing like crap. Don't get mad at him that he's making $30 million and, you know, and he's playing like
right.
crap. You know, he couldn't control that. Yeah, so it's like, and it's also not our money, you know, that's being spent. So,
well,
so get on
how many
get
games
on
you go to,
people,
I guess.
Yeah, to a point. But you know, get on him for playing bad. Don't get on him for, you know, doing what was best for him.
I am totally with you on that one. All right, let's go to the call lines now.
Yeah.
347-215-7771. He's been waiting very patiently, waiting to talk about Gordon Hayward. It's Gabriel in New York. And Gabriel, how do you feel about this whole situation? What's your take on Gordon Hayward? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike, Jack. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was going to talk about Gordon, but I think you guys pretty much exhausted the subject. If you don't mind, I want to
fair enough.
Talk about a different
yeah, what else? What else do you have? We did just talk about Hayward for a few minutes, so what else is on your mind?
I was thinking about, you know, the concept of team maturity. And what I mean by that is, to me, at times, I mean, first of all, it was a good win by the Celtics. So it's a good game. But, you know, they should have won at least by 20 points over this Brooklyn Nets team. Every time the Celtics made a run, you know, the Nets would come back. And the reason that they would come back is because the Celtics didn't really have that discipline, that team maturity of making the extra pass. You would see many times, you know, somebody's trying to make an individual play, whether it was Chris Wanamaker, whether it was Marcus Smart, or it was Marcus Morris, just not making the extra pass, not being disciplined enough like the Golden State Warriors. You know, just stick to your game plan and move the ball and find the right shot. Don't go kamikaze style and try to get back, you know, to get the lead again.
Yeah. Gabriel, unfortunately, I think that's what the Celtics, a lot of their players end up doing. Kyrie Irving is the guy that's sort of leading the way. You saw that against Golden State where he was trying to just get a bucket on his own. And even guys like Tatum were sort of looking to him and installing their own game to try and hand balls off to Kyrie and find Kyrie on the floor. So I think that kind of is the way that this team plays, and I don't like it just as much as you do, or just as much as you don't, but sometimes that's just the way they are. And I'm with you, though. If they
keep playing like that,
it's not, they're not going to win games. They're not going to win series.
I'll tell you something. I'll let Kyrie do whatever he wants to do. I mean, he is a special, special player. And he can make plays that nobody else in this team can make. So it's okay for him to do whatever he wants to do. I'll give him that gambit and benefit. I don't have a problem with that. But the rest of the Celtics is not Kyrie. They gotta, you know, play the right way. They gotta continue finding the open man. I mean, Kyrie can make a shot whenever he wants. He can make a shot out of 8 to 10 times, even when you have like 5 guys over him. He's a special player. I don't have a problem with that. The rest of the team needs to continue having that discipline. They got to have this team maturity and not go kamikaze style. That's what he's thinking. And I would love to get your comment.
All right, Gabriel. We appreciate the call, and we appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Jack, what do you think, man? Are they playing too much one-on-one hero ball here, or is that kind of what they need to do, because that's what their scorers are? I mean, not Kyrie tonight, but in general, that seems to be a trend on the Celtics, in my opinion.
Yeah, and obviously I liked what Gabriel said about how, you know, you let Kyrie do what he wants, because he is that special player, and he is that special, you know, shot creator to where he can get whatever he wants. And I do agree. You know, I think a big fault, at least early in the season, of the Celtics was kind of trying to use Terry Rozier as like a Kyrie Irving off the bench, where they'd be running a couple of the same sets for him. They'd try to get him the same shots. And, you know, it didn't really work as we all would have liked. And obviously, you know, the Jason Tatum, Kobe comparisons or jokes have been going on all season. So we know the deal with that too. And so, and it's a valid criticism, because we saw last year, especially after Kyrie Irving went down, you know, the Celtics did have, you know, Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum kind of be those really good individual scorers. But this year, obviously it's not working, you know, whether they just don't feel like they have the same amount of opportunities in a system that now has Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, or they're just different players than they were last year. You know, so at some point they're going to have to realize, you know, that this one-on-one stuff kind of isn't the best shot most of the time. You know, obviously there are points where, you know, where they force a mismatch, or it's late in the shot clock, or if you find a really good shot, then obviously take the shot. But, you know, there's always another pass that can be made, basically, is my kind of point. Like, a lot of these possessions, you know, there'll be like one pass or two passes, but, you know, there's always another pass to be made. And I think that's really a luxury of having Al Horford on the floor, you know, for most of the game, because he does make that extra pass, or he will get everyone involved, and he'll try his best to get everyone involved. So,
yeah, it's funny, man, when this Celtics team, even last year, when they were playing at their best, they reminded me of the Doc Rivers championship era team for like 3 or 4 years there, where at times I would complain that team was making too many passes, that nobody wanted to shoot the ball. Multiple people were open on a possession. They were just throwing the ball around, and then they would score anyway, right? So there have been times over the past couple of years where this team has reminded me of that. I actually saw a couple of those plays tonight, and I was like, guys, somebody shoot the ball. And I think Jaylen Brown got one in the corner at one point when they were swinging it all around the place. But there is a point, and I love the extra pass, believe me, but there is a point where there's too many passes on a possession. But my point is, if you're complaining about that, then the team is usually playing pretty well, and they're in a groove, and it's just something that potentially could cause a turnover if they really get into that sort of bad habit. But normally you're right. The extra pass is excellent. So sometimes this team looks like they're about to be in that zone where they're just finding every open guy, and other times they fall back into the one-on-one. I'm going to take a fadeaway jumper, or I'm going to try and drive the lane and kick it out for a three, but nobody's there. And it's just the inconsistency is pretty frustrating, because they are supposed to be the one or two seed. That's what people were thinking they were going to be before the season started. And if they don't go to the NBA finals, I'm inclined to say it's a little bit of a disappointment, because Toronto, as good as they've been, I still feel like they're not the better team. It's definitely not talent wise. So I don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, and we've still got 25 minutes on this show, so we don't really need to go down that road yet. But I feel like this team needs to reach their potential, or people are going to look at this season as a major disappointment.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned, you know, this team not going to the finals would be like a disappointment. And I think, you know, over the past couple of weeks, we've seen Toronto kind of falter a bit. You know, we've seen, you know, obviously Victor Oladipo, you know, you hate to see someone go down for the season like that. But, you know, you do have to say, you know, Indiana would presumably be an easier out than they were a week ago.
Yep.
Philadelphia, you know, they put together a couple good wins, but they're still a team that I'm confident against as a Celtics fan in the playoffs. And then Milwaukee, which, you know, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's a tough one.
Milwaukee's the tough one there. And you know, I'm still – over the course of the season, I've been optimistic. I'm still optimistic. Perhaps kind of in a too optimistic at some points, and you know, maybe I'm sounding ridiculous to some people out there by even just saying, you know, that I'm still optimistic that this team can make the finals, and I'll stop short of saying I expect them to make the finals, but you know, I would certainly not be surprised to see them beat, you know, Philly, Milwaukee, and Toronto three in a row in the playoffs to get to the finals.
Yeah, that would be a very difficult road. The most difficult road in the East, I would say, because, I mean, unless you're another team looking at the Celtics and two of those three teams, it doesn't get more tough than that. So they can make their way through that, that would certainly be an impressive road. So I take it back. If that's who they have to go through, then maybe it wouldn't necessarily be a disappointment. I'd have to wait and see how it shakes out. Even one of those three teams is not in their path, then I feel like they've got to be there. They should be there. They're the most talented team. The expectations were there. People are healthy, knock on wood. They should be there. So that's it for me. That's my little rant about how the Celtics need to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and win the Eastern Conference Finals this year, not just get there. All right. We are going to take 30 seconds for you to be reminded of our wonderful sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Anthony Davis. Yeah, that's right. It's the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
Oh, I just love pressing random buttons on this board. I don't know who put all this stuff here, but I'm using it. Yeah. Oh, Pat Mello? Wow. We gotta get Nick Chelso back on this show, as I'm about to drop his Twitter handle because he's tweeting at me and I'm tweeting at him, telling him to come talk about Anthony Davis. He says he's burnt out from Anthony Davis. He doesn't want to talk about them. At @CLNS_Nick. Go tweet at him. Tell him to come on the show and talk about Anthony Davis with us. It's the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. My name is Matt Rury and I'm here with Jack Michael. And we got a Fab Mello bumper here. Yeah, this is classic. Jack, some of this stuff.
This is Fab Mello of the Boston Celtics, and you are listening now to CLNS Radio.
Oh, rest in peace, Fab. That's good
rest
stuff.
Rest in peace, Fab Mello.
Got Delonte West here, too. That one's always one of my favorites. Here we go. One more. This is really old school. I'm just killing time now, because you know what?
This is Delonte West, and you're listening to CLNS Radio.
The Bronze Daddy.
This is what happens when you put me in front of, there's probably 100 clips on here. My old Careless Whispers clips are on here, plenty of drops.
Hey, Matt.
Chris Webber Rondo, that's always a good one. Yeah.
Hey, Matt. Find the bar fight one, the KG bar fight, if you can scroll down and find that one.
Yeah, that's got to be here. Oh, there it is.
Y'all been in the bar fight?
A little louder. What was that?
Y'all been in the bar fight?
That's right. All right. Enough playing around here. Enough playing around. We'll play with these all night long. The phone number is 347-215-7771. And even though Nick Gelso apparently is not going to be calling in, you can call in and talk to us about Anthony Davis if you'd like. That third voice you hear is Nick Sesento. He was so kind to check and see who's actually calling us tonight. So if you call, you'll talk to him first. But, guys, how serious is this for the Celtics? There's all sorts of speculation bouncing around. Anthony Davis wants to be traded. He's telling people now because he wants to go to the Lakers because he knows that the Celtics can't trade for him right now. They'd have to wait until Kyrie's contract expires because of the Rose Rule and blah, 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 all this technical garbage. Bottom line is, if you had to trade some serious assets, whether it's the Sacramento pick and two players, Brown and Tatum, because you know it's going to be a haul if they're going to put the Celtics over a barrel right now, are you pulling the trigger on Anthony Davis for a one-year rental? Or do you think that he would sign with the Celtics? Do you even buy into the fact that he – it's something? There's so many rumors out there now. People are saying that he wants to play with Kyrie, but he doesn't want to come to the Celtics because now he doesn't think that Kyrie is going to sign with the Celtics. So they're all targeting the Lakers, and it's just all this tornado of bullcrap just swirling around, and I can't stand it. So I'm going to let you guys battle it out.
Well, I'll start it off by letting Jack Michael know that he had a special shout-out. I was screening calls, and most of the callers were just listening. But special shout-out to Uncle Bill, who wanted to send you his regards, Jack Michael, listening to the show tonight. So shout-out to Uncle Bill out there listening to the Jack Michael show. What I would really like, though, in my question, before getting into some of the other questions about Anthony Davis, is can somebody please explain in a coherent manner what exactly is the Rose Rule? Because I've read it, in writing, and I grasped, the effect of it. You can't sign or you can't trade for Anthony Davis because Kyrie Irving. I don't understand why. I've never heard of the Rose Rule before this year and before this circumstance. What is the Rose Rule? And what, Kyrie Irving now is suddenly thinking about rejoining LeBron James in L.A.? I mean, what? This is world gone mad,
All right, so quickly on the Rose Rule before we let Jack speak for the first time in a few minutes here. It's essentially the amount of money that you make compared to your team's salary cap is the first sort of criteria there. So basically, if a play and also have to have been voted an All-Star starter twice and an All-NBA twice or won an MVP award. So that's the type of player that we're talking about here, first of all. Top-of-the-line player. It happened with Derrick Rose back in 2011, which is why it's called the Rose Rule. You're allowed to have more than one of those two types of players, but you're not allowed to acquire both of them in a trade. So Kyrie Irving was acquired in a trade. Therefore, the Celtics cannot also acquire Anthony Davis in a similar in a trade because they both make 30% of the team's salary cap and have been two-time All-Stars and two-time All-NBA All-NBA or won an MVP award.
That sounds convoluted as hell.
It is. It certainly is.
Ridiculous.
But basically it's this, Nick. In really simple terms, two of the top players in the league cannot both be traded to the same team, whether it's in the same trade or it's separate trades. So you probably couldn't trade Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in the same deal. Like if Golden State wanted to trade those two guys, it wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, but what's the ultimate effect of that? The ultimate effect of that is to avoid accumulation of too many
top-end, max-level,
all-star, all-NBA
correct.
Players on one
yeah.
team, and yet Golden State Warriors are basically accumulating, all-star-level talent for mid-level exception or veterans minimum in
yep.
Boogie Cousins and can basically assemble an all-star roster
and
nobody blinks an eye, but the Celtics
can't trade for
Anthony Davis.
Because they signed Kevin Durant and they drafted Steph Curry and
yeah,
these other guys as well. Klay Thompson, they drafted him, so If they had traded for any of those other guys and then traded for Durant, they wouldn't have let it happen. Jack, get in here.
So you want me to talk? So you want me to talk about whether the Celtics should trade for AD, or I guess, you know, obviously pending the Rose rule, I think it would be in the Pelicans' best interest to at least wait until the summer.
Right. So forget about the Rose rule right now. If they're say the Celtics are going to trade for Anthony Davis, they've got to ship Kyrie Irving off. That's fine. So it's either a swap for Kyrie right now, or New Orleans waits. I'm more interested in what you think about the potential of Davis just being a 1 year rental, because in either spot he's got a year left on his contract and then he can walk away. So what do you make of all this speculation that both he and Kyrie now are going to run off to LA to be with LeBron?
Well, I think it's BS, frankly. I think it's not, you know, true. I don't think it's a sound way to think. I think that anyone who is saying that has some sort of ulterior motive, whether it be, you know, Rich Paul releasing some information, or whether it be someone in the Lakers organization releasing some information, or whether it be just someone who has, you know, the thing I always think about when we get a piece of information, like, oh, it's like what happened today with people saying, or whoever said Kyrie Irving, people are more unsure now if he's going to re-sign in Boston. So whenever I see something like that, my thought process is, who benefits from this and who is set to lose from this? You know, and the people that benefit from thinking that Kyrie is going to leave are the Lakers, because it's in the Pelicans' best interest to see if Kyrie Irving is going to stay in Boston, because the Celtics are presumably the best trade partner with the assets and the draft picks that they have. So it benefits the Los Angeles Lakers for Kyrie Irving to seemingly not want to be in Boston, and it obviously hurts the Boston Celtics because it makes it more likely that the Pelicans don't want to be a trade partner with them. So for that piece of information to come out, you know, really quickly after we hear this Anthony Davis news of a trade, you know, that it's just a little fishy to me, because I'm not a big believer in a coincidence like that. So, and then to finally get to your question, I've been dodging around it the whole time, to actually trade for Anthony Davis, whether it'd be worth it as a 1 year rental. I think yes. Like, that's the point of having these picks. That's the point of, you know, making the Paul Pierce trade, or kind of stockpiling these assets. You know, everyone says Danny Ainge, he's just holding onto these picks forever. You know, and we've said it in the past. We've said it for Paul George. We've said it for Jimmy Butler. And I think Anthony Davis as a player is on a level, maybe not so much Paul George this season, but Anthony Davis as a player is on a level above those guys and is certainly younger. So I think, yes, you know, if you get the right deal, I would do it for a 1 year rental. Obviously we can't because of the Rose rule, but I would definitely do it for the 1 year rental, because I was on the boat last year of kind of going all in with this group anyway, like just try to get a championship as quick as possible with this group, just because it will be a great, you know, it would be a great thing to see. Young guys. Oh, sorry.
So what does it take? Are you giving up Brown and Tatum? Do you want to keep one of those guys? Is there anyone on this team that you would say is untouchable as far as bringing Anthony Davis in is concerned?
It's one of the two guys that I would say are absolutely untouchable are actually Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart. I think I know it sounds a little weird, but I would definitely love to pair Kyrie and Anthony Davis. I think that's the point. You know, that's why you go after a guy like Anthony Davis, is to pair him with your elite shot creator in Kyrie. And then Marcus Smart, I just don't think I could ever part with him. That's more of a personal thing.
I've seen you on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and you know, as much as I love Jaylen Brown, he might be my favorite player. You know, I would trade him for Anthony Davis. I would trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. But as far as what it takes to get the deal done, you know, I'm not a big fan of just speculating, so I don't like to usually do this. But I guess, you know, you'd have to start with either Gordon Hayward or Al Horford, you know, assuming Al Horford opts in next year. So I would say Gordon Hayward would be the more likely one, you know, because Al Horford's gonna opt in. And then you'd probably have to give one of Tatum or Brown. I think if they were going with a guy like Davis, they'd be more likely to give up a guy like Tatum. because they're going to have another featured offensive guy. So it's going to take even more possessions away from Tatum. You know, Jaylen Brown has obviously shown he could be more of that off-ball guy. And then, you know, you, assuming that salary works, I'm not sure if the salary does work, but assuming that salary works, then you probably just throw in whatever picks the Pelicans ask. That's the salary doesn't work on that?
That's what I was – I'm sitting here thinking. I just was looking up Anthony Davis's salary as we were mentioning what it would take and who could be traded. And Anthony Davis makes $25 million a year. He's a five-year – when he signed his five-year deal, it was 5 years, $127 million. Gordon Hayward wouldn't work because, number one, he makes somewhere around like $31 million a year. So you're sending a player that hasn't proven that he's recovered from an injury. So you'd be, you know, kind of – there's kind of a question there, you know, to start off with. And then you'd be trading a player that you're not sure – you're trading an all-world player, an Anthony Davis player, for a guy coming off injury that you're not positive he's going to get back to the way he's supposed to play or the way he – played in the past in his all-star past. And then you'd also have to send back another asset to offset the difference of about $5 or $6 million in their salaries. But then if you look at the package that people are talking about of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and, you know, maybe, you know, some of the in some picks, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are both still on their rookie contracts. Their contracts combined only make up about $10 million plus or minus, you know, maybe $10, $12 million plus or minus combined.
Like.
And draft picks, you know, only are worth, you know, depending on where they fall, you know, in the lottery or whatever else, are only worth, I think, a certain amount of millions. So you would have to throw in a whole – you had to find something else. And that's where I'm thinking, you know, if Gordon Hayward doesn't work, and I would like the idea of Gordon Hayward. I'm not so sure about the idea of Al Horford because I think you neutralize some of the – effect of having an Anthony Davis if you take away the Al Horford. I think the key is to have Al Horford there with Anthony Davis because they both make each other better. I think you see that the times that Al Horford doesn't play very well, it's when Al Horford doesn't have a big man playing alongside of him or coming off the bench behind him. Aaron Baines, for as much as he may not light up the box score, Aaron Baines allows Al Horford to play better because Al Horford is not a natural center and doesn't want to play center. So if you can get Anthony Davis to come in and play with Al Horford, I think the guy that you might have to, and I know this is heresy to Boston fans, and even I, the long-time doubter, have converted to a Marcus Smartite or Marcus Smartism, and I love Marcus Smart now, but he is the one guy that has a movable contract that you can conceivably add a player like Jaylen Brown to that contract. I'm saying, you know, under the pretext that we're avoiding trading Jason Tatum. Now, of course, if you want to add Jason Tatum, but even if you replace Jaylen Brown with Jason Tatum, it's still a rookie contract. But Marcus Smart is a guy that has a $13 million per year contract that you can build off of. And then that then goes to, well, the main competition is the Lakers. How does the package of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kuzma work when they're all still on rookie contracts? What asset do they have that they're going to move to get Anthony Davis? But all of this is moot because CBS just reported within the past hour that Lonzo Ball does not want to play for the Pelicans. So whatever Lonzo Ball wants, Lonzo Ball gets. The trade has been nixed. Don't worry about it. Lonzo Ball is not going to be traded to the Pelicans.
I literally just put a three-way trade with the Pelicans, Lakers, and Celtics together where the Celtics get Davis, the Lakers get Kyrie Irving, and the Pelicans get Lonzo Ball with Jaylen Brown and Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, the
if Kyrie Irving goes back to play with LeBron James, that would literally be as scandalous to the NBA, almost as scandalous as Kevin Durant going to play with the Golden State Warriors.
That would be
the way Kyrie Irving left. That would just be ridiculous.
The way that he's become really beloved around here, if he, after what he said at the beginning of the season, at a season ticket member whole thing, and then sort of like just showing himself to the city and saying, I will be whatever you need me to be, a type of player, leader, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
If he goes to the Lakers to play with
the
LeBron,
the snake emoji would be renamed Kyrie
Irving. Are you kidding me? If you think
Kyrie Irving would take
Boston
the snake emoji from Kevin Durant.
If you think the people in Boston boo guys that they don't like right now, Jay Crowder comes to mind. Like he thought that he was getting a bad treatment because Gordon Hayward was being cheered, etc. If you think that people that they don't like, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, go down the list of Red Sox and hated New York Jets players and Eli Manning. If you think these guys are bad, Kyrie Irving, please,
Kyrie would get it.
Go to the Lakers to play with LeBron James and see mm-hmm. what type of reaction you get when you return to Boston, because, man, you will not want to be in that building if you were Kyrie Irving.
And if they win a title.
Oh,
what if they
boy.
Win their 12th title in Los Angeles?
People
I mean, their 17th franchise title. That would be the end of Kyrie in Boston.
If you want to play a troll game trick on the Boston Celtics, Kyrie Irving, flat earth man, do that. Go to play with the Lakers. That will destroy this fan base. People will lose their minds, myself included. I wouldn't even be able to understand what was happening, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. Am I overreacting, Jack? What do you think?
I mean, I haven't even given that scenario any thought just because I think it's absolute, like, it's 100% out of the realm of possibility. Like, or as close to 100% as something, you know, that
we can see in
the future can be. Because I think the point, you know, the point of him leaving Cleveland in the first place was him getting away from LeBron.
Right.
Not necessarily getting away from LeBron James, but to get his own team. You know, so to kind of be, I don't know. And I also think people are overrating the Lakers as a team, which is a whole nother conversation. But so, yeah,
we certainly don't have time. Yeah, we certainly don't have time to talk about the Lakers really too much tonight. I was just trying to have a little freak out there, and it worked.
Anyway,
that's pretty much going to do it for the Anthony Davis talk. I do not see anybody else on the board here that wants to jump in. So, gentlemen, I don't even know who's on the next show. I do this too often. I just ignore the emails. But it's Wednesday night. I know that much. And Charlotte's coming to town. So definitely check us out on the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media on Wednesday night. That one, again, will be at 10 p.m. Nick, you know who's on that show?
I saw the email, but I couldn't tell you. If you give me like 2 seconds, I might have it screenshotted somewhere.
All right. Just figured I'd let the people know. Oh, wait, what is this? Is it here? It's, this email says it's Snotty Drippin' and Calvin. Good luck with that. I haven't heard from Calvin in a week, so.
I was going to say,
it might be Snotty Drippin'
for Calvin.
Nick Cento tomorrow on Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Mine dated January 17th says Snotty Drippin' and Jack Mike. So Jack Michael, maybe. I don't know unless you switch to get on tonight. Maybe Jack Michael.
I'll be on standby.
All right.
I'll get a text from Bobby Manning. Hey Nick, can you fill in for tonight? I'll be there.
Either way, somebody will be doing the show
after
the Charlotte game. All right, gentlemen. Jack, good doing a show with you, man. I'll talk to you soon for sure.
Likewise, Matt.
All right, Celtics win 112-104. We didn't talk a whole lot about the game, but we had a great show anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcast on the web.